Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Hello. Welcome to part four of As Your Soul Prospers. As you may have guessed, I've based this on the scripture that says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And so, as your soul prospers, kind of means in proportion to, or along with the way that your soul prospers. So, what that means is if your soul has problems, you'll have problems, and it's not God's doing. God wants you to know that some of the problems in your life did not come from Him. I used to think that some of that was true. It wasn't. But I had to learn these matters, that some of the things that were happening to me were a result of my own decisions and choices. Not necessarily sin, but just decisions and choices that I was making through misunderstanding or not understanding the Word. So God really wants His kids to walk in victory. It's important to Him. He cares for His children. And so the reason that I'm doing this, this series, As Your Soul Prospers, is a way, what I learned was a way to walk in great freedom, where I was not emotionally led, not bothered by the ups and downs of this world, not moved by whether people liked me or didn't like me, accepted me or didn't accept me, respected me or didn't respect me. I was able to find a place in God where I was truly free from the influences of external things. And what I mean is, if you're not free, external things kind of run your life. And people say, how are you doing today? And you're giving them this emotional response to all the external things, what my husband or my wife did, what my, the bills, the house, the job, oh, I lost my job, blah, blah, blah. And our focus can, if we aren't renewed in this area, and I know a lot of you are renewed, but what I've seen and what I used to do when I was young in the Lord is that those things would encompass my emotions and my heart, and they would take my focus. And when really bad things happened in my life, I did not do well because I was emotionally responding because I wasn't free in these areas and I didn't know how to be. And so it caused a lot of problems for me. And when God began to teach me through the Word of God, through the scriptures, and through understanding, a better way to live, I found a great place of freedom and happiness that makes us able to walk in joy and freedom and free from the effects of what's going on in our life. Things will always happen, you know. There's a scripture that says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And, you know, it's not a bad confession. It's a scripture that every life has things happen. Things happen in every life. We can minimize those, but even better, we can remove the hook that causes us to respond to every little thing that happens. Because when we're responding, we're just reacting to everything that happens, then we're pretty weak. We're in a weak position. We're not able to change things through faith. We're not able to always walk in love then because we're owned by the situations in our life. And that's a very poor way to live, and it's not what we were called to as disciples. We were called to rise above that and to be able to help others. How can we help others when we're messed up? And so this series is about helping, you know, helping others by helping ourselves, or serving God in a more proper way by getting some of the stuff out of our soul. And so as a little review, your soul is not the same thing as your spirit. So hopefully you've listened to part 1 through 3. But the spirit that you have, if you're born again, hopefully all of you listening are born again, because Jesus said, you must be born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? But when you're born again, that's called your spirit. That's who you are in the spirit. And you're actually, when you say the sinner's prayer, and if you truly mean it, which is you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, you ask Him to forgive your sins and come in and be Lord of your life, what's just happened is you became a new creation in the spirit. Now, it's a great mystery, right? But I believe if we could see in the spirit, we would see a real transaction, because then it says you're born of God. So you just changed your fatherhood from having an earthly father or earthly parents to being in the family of God and God being your heavenly father, which is pretty amazing. It's a pretty amazing promise, but it's scripture. And so if you can dare to believe that, then you know that that's your spirit man, which the Bible says is a new creation made after the image of God. Wow. Which is what Adam was supposed to be in the first place, right? Before he blew it, Adam was made in the image of God. Remember, let us make man in our image. So what happens then? What's our soul? If our soul is not our spirit, your soul is more like your personality. It's your mind, will, and emotions. And so there's where the trouble lies. If you're an emotionally led person, if you're an intellectually driven person, not that that's wrong to be intellectual. God gave you the mind that you have, and that's a good thing. And it's to be used for study, but it's not to be used to drive you or lead you, because our intellect isn't smart enough. Our natural intellect is not smart enough to know the plans of God, right? So a true disciple lays aside his opinion for God's. So I want to talk, we've gone into some detail in the first three parts about the soul and about how it works. And we went into a few examples of what a soul hook is. So again, if you haven't heard those, please go back and listen to those. So I want to go into deeper detail now about some soul hooks. Now I'm just teaching things that the Lord showed me that helped me in my life, okay? But so far, what I know of is that there's three kinds of soul hooks. And one is when we've believed a lie. I'm going to tell you about all three, and we're going to go into more details. I believe we'll have it today and one more, possibly two more. But one is if you've believed a lie, or we might call it a false belief system. The next one is called an inner vow. And the next one would just be attitude or an attitude of sin. So let's get the attitude of sin out of the way. I think that one's pretty clear. I gave an example, I think, in the first part, the first message, about a person who needed healing, but the healing, the disease that they had, they did get healed. But God didn't just wave his hand and heal them. God asked them to repent of bitterness, which was associated with a deep heart wound, which was associated with a broken relationship. And so the soul hook was they had this wound, and they had allowed bitterness and unforgiveness to creep in. And as we mentioned before, bitterness dries the bone, the Bible says, dries the bones. And so sometimes bone diseases, you know, we need to, if you have a bone disease, you might want to look and ask the Lord, do I have any unforgiveness that I forgot about? Do I have any bitterness against anyone? Or do I even have bitterness of soul, which is not against any other person, but it's just bitterness of soul about things that happened in my life, things that went the wrong way, that I was so wounded, I became bitterly disappointed. That can also do damage to you. And so that's one example. Well, when the lady that I was praying with, when she got healed of her wound, she repented of her bitterness towards her daughter, and God healed her. She was actually it's more correct to say she received her healing, and she literally, her body was healed. Okay, and any true healing of God will be borne out by the doctors. It's not, you know, if you ever get healed, there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. You don't have to, but it will bear up under the tests, right? Your numbers will change. And so if you're a person that doesn't believe in healing, the Bible does believe in healing, and it believes in it for today. And it believes, the Bible believes and says, that by his stripes you were healed. Okay. So there are attitudes. This is one of our soul hooks could be an attitude. It's not always bitterness. It may be bitterness and unforgiveness. It may be judgment. We talked about that in the last one, where if you judge, right, judge not lest ye be judged of the same thing. And it isn't always, it doesn't necessarily look like God struck you with lightning because you judged. But what happens is, because it's a scripture, it is written, if you judge in a wrong way, your life will tend to draw things that are related to that same judgment. And so I'm going to share a story you may have heard in other series, but my Bible school teacher told a story that was very clear about judging. And what happened is she grew up, her father was an alcoholic, very much an alcoholic, very difficult circumstances, and he would not hold a job, he would not work. So her mom kind of had to do triple duty, raise the kids, work the job, and do all the work around the house while he was just kind of, you know, drunk and wouldn't work. Now, the story is she had a sister. Her sister judged him for being an alcoholic. And she said, I never judged him for being an alcoholic, but I did judge him for not holding a job. Now, fast forward some years, she and her sister both get married. Her sister married a man who became an alcoholic. That was the judgment her sister had placed. She grew up and married a man that would not hold a job because that was the judgment she had placed. I think that's a pretty clear example. So we don't know how it will show up. But the reason we're saying this is sometimes you know something's wrong by the things that are happening, especially, my friend, if you see a repetitive pattern of trouble in your life. Usually if there's a pattern that repeats over and over again, there may be a reason. And God's not mad at you. He's not condemning you. He's saying, you know, get rid of the roots and you'll get rid of those fruits, right? You'll get rid of the symptoms and the problems. Because a lot of the things that happen in our life are simply symptoms of what's going on inside. Now, those are pretty rough examples, but they're true. I also want to say another attitude that is really clear in the Bible that it draws problems is strife. Any kind of strife in your home, any kind of strife at your job. The Bible says where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. And if I were to paraphrase that in today's language or in Holly's language, I would say, if you're walking in strife, you might as well open the door and invite the enemy to come in with all kinds of trouble, because it says every evil work. And so a lot of times when there's things going on, and a lot of them, check the strife button. Check, is your home walking in peace? You know, is your home in peace? Is your job in peace? Are you a person that carries strife at work? Do you carry an attitude, even if you're not saying it? It's about the heart. It's not about what, you know. I used to be very good at masking my emotions. It was all I knew. And so I had carried some judgments, different soul hook, but I had carried judgment against certain leaders because I thought they were too controlling. Now, that was wrong, and God convicted me of it. I mean, he really showed me that that was, you know, that that was sin. But no one knew it because I had the ability to mask it. You know, no one knew that I carried a judgment in my heart, but God knew it, because it's not so much God, this is what the Bible says, God judges the heart, not the outward appearance. A lot of times you go to God and you ask forgiveness for some of the things that are flowing out. But what I would say is, if you deal with the inside, you know, things come from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And out of the abundance of the heart, what does it say about sin? Sin is because we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed, right? So sometimes when we blow it, and we've all blown it, you know, there have been times when we've all done things that we really felt badly about or felt were wrong, or we had to confess it was sin. But, and of course God forgives. That's the whole point of the blood of Christ, and thank you, Lord. But isn't it better to unhook what's on the inside? And then that whole pattern goes away, right? If you unhook the strife, quite often all the every evil work then leaves because it has nothing to hold to, right? I hate strife. I can't stand strife. So I will go a long way to negotiate. Even if I feel I'm right, I'll let the other person be right, or I'll try to negotiate, or I'll try to talk it through. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. But I will say that it's worth working on having unity in your home. It's worth working on your attitude. If you have an attitude towards your boss, you may not like your boss, you may think your boss is an idiot, but here's the fact, they are paying you to work for them. And in God's sight, they're your employer and worthy of respect, even if they're doing things wrong. Okay? And so it's better to have a right heart. Take a servant's heart. That's a whole nother message I don't want to get off on, but I'm just going to say, if you want to be favored at your job, if you want to be the one when everybody's getting let go, I'll just tell you a secret. If you want to be the one that stays, you get a servant's heart. And you say, I'm going to not only do this project, even if I don't agree with it, I'm going to do it on time, under budget, and with a smile. And would you like fries with that? You know, is there anything else I can do for you? Because nobody does that these days. It's very rare to find a worker who really cares about their position and cares about the company they work for. Things have reversed since the 1940s, you know, where people don't care the way they used to. There's not, I see restaurants, I'm on a tangent now. I see restaurants serving food and I think I wouldn't serve that. I wouldn't put something like that on a plate with my name on it. Mm-mm. I'm no cook, but I'll tell you what, if I was gonna serve something and charge someone money for it, I would really work at making it excellent. Be excellent in your work. Be excellent at your job. Be the best one there. And I'll tell you, I've had a number of jobs where they started outsourcing and getting rid of people, and I've always been one of the ones that got paid to stay longer because I have a servant's heart. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you. A servant's heart is a godly heart. And I didn't always agree with everything they were doing. Doesn't matter. They were paying me to serve them, and that made me their servant. So now it's better to have a servant's heart and really do your best and do your work so well that people will talk about it. The people will say, man, that person really does excellent work. So I'm totally off the subject, but I really felt like I should say that. And so attitudes such as strife, judgment, anger, if you have anger, you know what we do? We either hold it until we can't stand anymore and then blow, right? Or some people are what they call passive aggressive, where we pretend not to be angry, but then it comes out in other ways. Or we just do like I used to do, we just stuff it and just pretend it's not there and don't deal with it and have a nice mask so nobody even knows you're irked at them. And all of those ways bring trouble. Beloved, I wish above all things you be in health and prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And so when God taught me, when he healed me of some of that junk, some of the emotional junk I stuffed for years, he also had to teach me how to talk to people, which has never been my forte. But he taught me how to first of all deal with the thing instead of stuffing it or you know, losing your temper or stuffing it down in there, pretend it doesn't exist. He taught me how to deal with the emotion and process it. Emotions, they're not evil. They're a gift from God, and they were meant to serve you. But we don't know how to process them a lot of times, so we act in ways that are not right, not godly, not kind. And so, but there's nothing wrong with going to someone and saying, you know, what you did really upset me, and I want to talk it through. I was really upset when you said this. And at least you've gone to them in honesty. You know, it's not a sin to have anger, it's how you handle it. Sometimes things happen that need to be talked about, but the first thing you do is deal with it in you, deal with it in prayer, and most of the time you won't even have to go to the person. Most of the time God will help you resolve it, just between you and him. You know, I like to say, I know whose couch to lay on. My Father in heaven gave us the Holy Spirit, who's called the Comforter, the Counselor, you know, and he knows what he's doing. And I learned a long time ago that if I will work through it with him, I'll come to terms and have peace. Because I love walking in peace. I walk in peace every day. Every day. And if stuff happens and I'm a little bit taken aback emotionally, or my emotions start to respond, I don't just react. I take it to the Lord. And if I have to, I keep taking it to the Lord until I work through it and get it resolved. And if I need to go and talk to my brother or sister, then I'll go talk to them in a kind, straightforward, direct manner and just try to work it out. And most of the time, you'll find that they didn't even know they offended you, or they didn't even know that was a thing. And most of the time, they're, if you approach them in kindness, right, and with respect, often you'll find that it was nothing at all, and they'll work it out with you, and now you've gained a closer friend. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me, but it's been the grace of God to teach me how to do that, because most of us don't have those skills. They're called people skills, you know, and emotional skills. So those are the category of solo. Remember I said there's three categories that I know of. I may learn more before the thing's over, but here's what I know so far. We said there's lies, believing a lie, inner vows, and the attitude or an attitude of sin. So those were some examples of attitudes of sin. I'm sure there are more, but I'm talking about this from the inside out, but when you're going through life, what you're going to see is things that are happening on the outside. And the question is there something that I have going on inside me that is allowing that or causing that, or is even allowing an open door for the enemy to bring something I don't want, right? And so you'll see the symptom often first. Maybe you'll see, here's an example. Maybe you're, I say this a lot, but so you've probably heard this a lot. But let's say that you're a person who, you know your personality. All of us are different. And I know mine. I'm very laid back. You know, really takes a lot to ruffle me. I'm pretty laid back, very relaxed. I love to walk in peace. I'm a very happy person. And if I see a behavior pattern that doesn't line up with that, if I notice in the past how I've gotten free, to be honest, is I would suddenly behave in a way that I thought, boy, why did I say that? Why did I act like that? That's not like me. And often when that happens, that's like a little red flag going, that wasn't you. You have a soul look. You have something you need to deal with, Allie. And so there are many kinds of them, but I will just tell you, I don't know if I've shared this story. I don't think I've shared it on this series. One time I was doing volunteer work at the church, and it was a wonderful place, and the pastor was just really kind, one of the nicest guys you could ever want to meet, very relaxed and kind of actually fun person. And I was going to do some volunteer work. I was going to type. He had given me a sermon outline. I was going to key it in. And he gave it to me, and instead of leaving the room, he wanted to chat. And I was getting edgy and wanting to get it done. Like, I was acting nervous and kind of acting stupid, actually. And he picked up on it, and he kind of smiled. He said, so what you're saying is get out of here so I can do my job. And I realized I had been rude, and there was no reason for it. He wasn't in a hurry to get the thing done. And I felt really stupid. Did you ever do something and you think, why did I say that? Why did I act like that? That's not like me. So here's what I did, and this is what I would encourage you to do. Whenever that happens, whatever the behavior pattern, it doesn't matter. If it's something that you really think, what is that about? Some people call it a knee-jerk reaction, right? And I thought that was a bit unusual. So I went to the Lord with it, and I sat in my car on my lunch hour, and I said, Lord, what was that about? Why did I act like that? He's so nice. He wasn't in a hurry. Why was I suddenly nervous to get it done? And the minute I uttered that prayer, instantly, I had a flashback. 22 years earlier, I was very young. I was at my first programming job. I think I was all of about 19 or 20. And I was new to the working world. I'd, you know, just gotten, well, long story, I was still in college, but, you know, I had never been exposed to men. I worked with all men. I was the only girl. That was a lot of fun back in those days. Back in the olden days when we had wagon trains. And, you know, it was a difficult thing. And my supervisor was this giant of a man who was kind of not very nice. Saying it nicely, he was actually mean. He was way too busy. He didn't have time to answer my questions. And he made no secret about it. So I would put off for days to go ask him a question, and I would try anything else to figure it out. If I couldn't figure it out, I'd finally go into his office, and he was always really working hard, and I didn't want to interrupt him, and I would try to be polite, and he would show his exasperation that he had to stop and deal with me and give me an answer to my question, and I was afraid of him. And God showed me that I was still reacting to that guy 22 years later, even though he was long gone, hadn't worked there in 20-something years. And yet I was still reacting to that because I had taken on a behavior pattern out of that relationship or situation. You see the problem? Well, now it's not enough to see it, is it? You've got to get rid of it. So somehow I had developed an automated response to bosses. I had a fear of those in authority, right? And so when the Lord showed me that, always in there, whenever he shows you a soul hook of any type, in there somewhere, something you probably need to repent of. And so I said, I am so sorry, Father. First of all, I shouldn't have been afraid of that man. He actually was in the wrong. He was my supervisor. I was doing my best. And I apologize for reacting that way or getting in fear. You're the Lord. I repent of that. I ask you to heal me of that. And from then on, that whole entire, not just the soul hook was gone, but that entire pattern of behavior was gone. And that fear of a boss or supervisor was gone. So when you get rid of the soul hook, if you watched, I think, session 2, you saw that there's a soul hook and Satan attaches a behavior pattern, or maybe even you attach a behavior pattern to that hook. When you get rid of the hook, the entire pattern goes, right? That entire, some of the things you think are your personality. We excuse things all the time and we say, oh, that's just part of my personality. Well, guess what? Some of it isn't. Some of it is that you took some abuse or you are responding to things people said, right? So God wants to help. He's not mad at us. He loves us. But he wants to help us because how can we walk like Jesus? How can we love people or be kind to people or walk in compassion? How can we when we've got all this junk going on in our mind, will, and emotions? Okay, so that's just an example. So I think I've covered the attitudes and the sins. I want to talk for a minute about, oh dear, I've already been half an hour. I want to talk for a minute about inner vows. And I may need to continue this on the next one. But when I first encountered this, I was in my 30s. I think it was about 32. And I instantly became very ill out of nowhere. Just really started exhibiting strong physical symptoms. And I was at work. And I quickly emailed my boss and I said, I've got to go home. I'm, you know, something's wrong. And I was in the car and I really thought I was going to expire, to be honest with you. I thought, we're done. I could feel a fist. It felt like a fist inside my chest. Wham! I mean, my heart, it was like, I thought, this is it. This is it. So I got home and I laid on the floor and I had my hand on the phone to call 911. And the Lord said, don't call them. I thought, okay, you know, because I didn't realize it wasn't a physical issue. And long story short, the Lord, I won't tell you the whole story because it's not time in this session. But what happened is the Lord spoke to me and said, you made an inner vow. And I said, no, I didn't, because I didn't even know what an inner vow was. When I said, no, I didn't, of course, how stupid was that to talk back to the Lord? Who knows everything about everything and who knew everything about me? He instantly took me back in my mind, just a flashback, to a time when I was 5 years old. I overheard one of my siblings say something about me and I started to cry. I felt, you know, I felt I was hurt because of what they said about me. And of course, they were just, you know, kids, just being kids. And what they said was probably true. But what happened was my father heard me crying, saw me crying, and he, you know, think of it now, five-year-old girl who's crying, okay, 5 years old. He yelled at me and said, why do you have to be, and I'm not going to say it like he said it because he said it very loud and terse, why do you have to be so sensitive all the time? Well, as a five-year-old kid, I loved my dad and I respected him and I thought, oh, okay, we don't do that. We don't cry. I guess we don't do that. You know, and I wanted to please my dad. So I made an inner vow. No, I didn't speak it, but in my little five-year-old heart, I said to myself, I'll never let them see me cry. I'll never show my emotions. Now, here's the problem with an inner vow. Once you make that decision, it goes into effect and it causes you to behave in accordance with it. So I spent the whole of my life not knowing why, but I begin to stuff my emotions, hide them. We don't have them, we don't do them, we don't show them. And so I became kind of strong and tough. And when all the other little girls were playing with dolls, I was playing with horses. And when all the other kids, all the other girls were reading romance novels, I was reading Louis L'Amour Westerns because, you know, we don't do emotion. And so I was just a bit of a tomboy. And I knew that if I wanted to relate to my dad, I had to talk about either business, horses, or farming. That's what my dad loved. I became what I thought my dad expected. Now, the truth was, he probably didn't even remember saying that. He probably didn't even mean it. He probably just was having a moment. He was a good dad. He probably didn't even mean that. But what happened is, I learned how to stuff every emotion and never show it. And so for years, way past, you know, even past when our parents pass on, we're still carrying all our stuff. And so here I am at the age of 2, and what happened was, because I had made that inner vow and I had been stuffing my emotions for all those years, it became toxic in my system. You know, the doctors say stress can give you a heart attack. Well, this wasn't stress. I wasn't a stressful person, but I was a person that buried everything. Well, guess what? Sooner or later, it starts to go, We're emotions and we're coming out. And we're going to come out in strange ways. I would find myself crying for no reason. No reason. I don't cry, right? But what it was that inner vow, and I had actually been wearing a mask for years. I went through some of the darkest times of my life. No one ever knew because I don't show emotions. I'd go to work, how are you doing? Great. I would run large meetings. I would negotiate. I would do all the business stuff. How are you? Great. I'm doing fine. No one ever knew. And I'm not saying you should wear your heart on your sleeve. Sometimes that can go too far the other way. But what I'm really saying is, an inner vow can take you down a road you don't want to go. And there are thousands of kinds of inner vows. So that was just an example. Hopefully you can jump from the example to see the pattern. So let me give you, before I need to close pretty quick here, but before I close, I want to give you some examples of inner vows. What the Lord showed me is we've all probably said stuff like this, so there's no condemnation at all. But he taught me this. I was praying for a young man who'd had a long history of, he was the kid that always got beat up and bullied at school. And some really terrible things were done to him. And he made an inner vow. Now we had to kind of dig around for a while before the Lord showed us this, right? The Lord revealed it. And we got it dealt with, but his inner vow was, I'll get you before you get me. And now, how does that play out? Well, it can play out in business. It can play out in your marriage. I'll get you before you get me. If you even look like you're going to say something to me that's intimidating, I'll get you first, right? Because that was the vow. But here's what the Lord showed me. You could have 2 or 3 children with different personality types, all getting beat up by the same bully, having the same words spoken to them, having the same experience, and each of the 3 might make a different inner vow. A person with the same bullying could say, I will hide, you'll never find me. When I see you coming, man, I'll run and hide, and they'll become a hider from circumstances in life. They see trouble coming, man, they'll just go hide out, they'll become invisible. They're the one that never speaks, right? Because of an inner vow. So it's not, this is what the Lord showed me, what I'm trying to say. It's not what happened to you that caused your problems. We've all had stuff happen to us, all of us. No one is exempt. We've all had mean people. We've all had liars. We've all had betrayal. We've in different variations. But I don't think there's a person I'm talking to that hasn't known a wound or a betrayal or a trust that was destroyed, or, you know, a heart that was broken. We've all lived through stuff, but that's not what caused the problem. What causes the problem is how we respond. Did we make an inner vow or take on a lie or take on an attitude of whatever, anger, unforgiveness? It's how we respond. So in my earlier example here, we'll take the two examples. Two kids get beat up by the same bullies. They hear the same verbal abuse. They're put down. They're made to feel ashamed or belittled. And one says, "I'll," you know, he goes on the offense, "I'll get you before you get me." The other kid says, "I'll run and hide." The idea of it is both of them took some heat and both of them responded in a way that enabled them to survive childhood, right? And that's kind of what we're dealing with. A lot of the stuff that we took on when we were little. Not all of it, but a lot of it is stuff that we took on when we were little kids, you know? So hopefully that helps and makes some sense. If you're wondering, why do I act like that? Ask the Lord. This is what has helped me. When I ask the Lord honestly, what is with me? What is my problem? Why do I have that behavior pattern when I don't like it? Why do I have a behavior pattern if I don't like it? And the Lord, what he'll do, it's not so much that I hear a voice, it's that I'll suddenly have a remembrance that I forgot of a moment when the thing came in, or the moment when I made a choice or a decision or took that lie in. And to be honest, there's some listening that maybe things happen to you that are pre-memory, but God is good and he will still help us. You know, I've seen the faithfulness of the Lord. You know, God is not an absent God. He's not a God that just sits in the heavens and watches us struggle. If we ask with an honest heart, he will find a way to get you the answer. He'll find a way. He'll put a book in your hands or have somebody share their testimony. Or you'll see a movie with the answer in it. He will find a way. But you need to be asking the question and be specific, okay? So I love you, and I'll talk to you next time. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.